France is about to send 2,000 soldiers to Ukraine, according to the Foreign Intelligence Service Director Naryshkin, commenting just a few minutes before our show started tonight. French troops going to Odessa. Why Odessa? Well, because if you get Odessa, then you literally close off the entire Black Sea, right? If Russia controls the entire southern port section of Ukraine, in addition to Crimea, and now they control Odessa, then it's game over. What do you have left? You have a landlocked country with no port of entry. So, yes, France going to send 2,000 soldiers, according to Naryshkin, just a few minutes before our show started here. This is unbelievable. And, of course, we know now that Senator Lindsey Graham wants young Ukrainians to die. Europe has a death wish, ramping up war footing against Russia. Putin's warning, if you do this, World War III is coming. Sure seems like crap's about to hit the fan. Am I wrong? And Newsweek today publishing this. Here's a direct clash. This map shows U.S. cities Russia would strike first if war broke out. Take a look at this. So pay attention to your screen here, because here's where Newsweek thinks that Americans will be hit one step away from a full-scale World War III. So take a look at your map here. Is any of these cities pop up for you?
Yes.
Where you live near? Do you live near any of these cities here? Again, a nuclear exchange would be disastrous for all involved. The Federation of American Scientists says that Russia has around 5,500 nuclear weapons compared with the U.S.'s 5,428. But look at this. Okay, Peterson Air Force Base. Get away there. Texas, the Pantex plant. A lot of these, of course, military installations. San Diego, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Jim Creek Naval Radio Station. Got to take out the analog stuff. Washington, D.C., Raven Rock Mountain Complex. You know what I find interesting, though, is like Ohio's not on this list. Like Ohio, Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. I guess Right. They feel like they could. But this is like what Newsweek is telling us. These are the most likely targets that Russia will hit in a nuclear exchange.
Okay. I think that it also is the most likely targets, the places that would be listening to the Washington Post. Right.
Washington Post.
Or the people that would be listening to this kind of war rhetoric are in those cities the most likely to be in those urban centers.
Maybe. I mean, if you look at, I mean, think about, you know, like Montana, North Dakota, of course, Hawaii, no Alaska, though. Alaska's so close to Russia there. So that's good news. Well, the U.S., the EU, though, is calling for a war economy. So the EU's boss, you guys see this story, say the bloc will double its production of artillery shells by the end of 2024, Charles Michel has said. The EU must drastically ramp up defense production to help Ukraine.
Okay. So, don't we have that already? It feels like they're just selling it to us.
Selling
basically.
What?
Like the idea that what we've got is acceptable. And yeah, this is a war economy. We need it. And stop complaining about how inflation is high, unemployment is high, and interest rates are high.
This is Putin's problem because you're paying more for all of your food now. It's Putin's problem. We're in a war economy. The EU must drastically ramp up defense production to help Ukraine in its conflict with Russia. The call comes as Kiev has increasingly warned of ammunition shortages. So this is an opinion piece in a Belgian newspaper. And Michel claims that it's a serious military threat to our European continent and global security. If we do not get the EU's response right and do not give Ukraine enough support to stop Russia, we are next, he says. For decades, Europe has failed to invest sufficiently in our security. Although they've expanded NATO tremendously, what are you talking about? We urgently need a radical and irreversible shift in our thinking towards a strategic security mindset. So start ramping it up.
Which, you know, incidentally hands us a lot of power over your lives and the shortages of your resources and the stretch of your dollar. But that's the way it goes. Your resources and the stretch of your dollar.
Exactly.
That's the way it goes.
Hearing myself back. The newspaper also says...
David, you're looping back.
Oh, we're looping back in. Hearing myself back in.
The newspaper also says...
David, you're looping back.
Oh, we're looping back in.
Hold on, sorry. Also says
hearing double audio there. But the New York Times, I love this part of the story. The New York Times says U.S. assessment in early February, which stated that without replenishment, Ukraine's air defenses could operate only until March 2024, which is right now.
Yeah. Okay.
So you mean to tell me you're going to ramp up production so much so that you're going to be able to get this to the front lines right now? No. As we know from military experts who've been on our show on a regular basis, this would be a year or more out. So stop fooling everyone with this, that you need to do it right now. So Ukraine's air defenses are imminently about to be done with ammunition. Won't have enough. Won't be able to stop anything that's coming. So now you see, to me, this is like the paragraph that stands out more than anything. Because now you see why France, you see the EU, you see NATO really ramping up this war rhetoric over the past few weeks. Why? Like, where is this coming from? Where is this coming from? Oh, it's coming from the fact that Ukraine's air defenses are going to be empty in days. And they've completely run out of men. And now they're about to lose Odessa. They're about to lose the southern port towns here. It's game over unless the EU can step in, start sending soldiers, which is apparently what France is wanting to do here. So how are we going to pay for this in Europe, by the way? How is Europe going to afford this? I mean, I don't know if you've been paying attention, but Europe's not doing very well. I mean, Germany's in a recession.
Yes.
People are paying ridiculous amounts for food, rent. It's not going well in Europe for people.
Interest rates are through the roof. Most people's housing costs have doubled or tripled because so many people in Europe were used to low interest rates. So they had adjustable rate mortgages that have doubled, tripled. People can't pay their housing expenses.
I've got a solution for you.
Well, I wonder how much of it. I wonder how much of it is a bit of a proxy for, like, the U.S. needs the war to continue because we have arms manufacturers that need to get paid a lot. We've got all these hundreds sitting around. Like, so how much do you think is, like, the U.S. is pushing France to get involved? Because if Ukraine falls, then that war ends. So somebody needs to escalate it somehow. We need to get more people in there,
right,
to keep the machine running.
Right.
And that's where Lindsey Graham comes in. We'll get to him in a second here. So they really need this ramping up here. But how are we going to pay for this? Well, how's Europe going to pay for this? Here's an idea. The EU is proposing, how about we take 90% of all of those frozen Russian assets and put it right back into the European Peace Facility? So what is the European Peace Facility? Just another, that's a nice way of saying our war footing, our war economy to go after Russia. So we'll steal frozen assets. I mean, you're setting up a whole new world order when you can literally go in and just steal citizens of another country, steal their assets and claim that it is that they're oligarchs.
Mm-hmm.
And that we're going to use that money in billions of dollars in assets. And we're going to use that money and throw it right into war.
Well, it's one step.
Like, they should at least issue letters of marque for the new privateers, you know, because that's basically what that is. It's just legal piracy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how long until it goes towards European citizens or anyone who's not Russian for wrongthink, for what they call supporting the war, for what they call not being supportive of their side? This is a very slippery slope that should scare us all.
Yeah. So now Putin is warning of World War III, full-scale World War III, if the West sends troops to Ukraine. Putin says, I think anything is possible in today's world, and it's clear to everyone that this would be one step from a full-scale World War III. A recording of a conversation also between German military officers that was recently published by Russian media revealed that the UK has soldiers already on the ground in Ukraine, helping Ukrainian forces using Storm Shadow missiles, which have a range of 155 miles, making them capable of hitting targets throughout Crimea. And the Polish foreign minister just admitted the very same thing in a television discussion that, yes, we are. There's already NATO forces already here.
Żołnierze krajów NATO już są na Ukrainie i chciałbym serdecznie podziękować ambasadorom tych krajów, które takie ryzyko podjęły. One same wiedzą najlepiej, które to są.
Bo pan nie powie przecież.
Bo ja w odróżnieniu od niektórych polityków europejskich tego nie będę mówił.
So they're already here. How many more of these people do we need to come forward and admit that this is the case, right? So right now, though, we're seeing the UK is telling Ukraine to really focus your attacks on Crimea. So this is amazing. So over the past few days, we've had the Times of London has embedded itself with the UK's defense secretary. And this piece is amazing. I mean, what a piece of propaganda. So the Times of London travels with him into Poland, and then he takes a train into Ukraine, and they're there the whole time. They were supposed to be heading towards Odessa, but a missile strike apparently was about to happen, and they found out about it, they knew about it, and pulled back at the last minute. So UK's defense minister heading to Odessa, which is going to be the new target right now, and apparently a missile strike was incoming. The Times of London reports that they pulled back on that trip almost immediately when a missile strike did hit. Were they going to target the defense minister of the UK? Or was it a warning shot? We don't know, but we know what you're up to. And you're there basically meeting UK forces, trying to drum up more support, trying to bring more awareness, trying to get more money and weapons and support inside of Ukraine. And in this piece, Britain is advising President Zelensky to hold the line in the east and focus on the Black Sea and Crimea, according to the Times of London. So
that's
strike,
insane.
So strike Crimea. Strike people who, I mean, just went through another election and verifiably said, we are Russian.
Mm-hmm.
When you wanted to put your Western-backed coup and your Western-backed puppet government here in 2014, we voted against that. We voted to become part of the Russian Federation. And you want to bomb us? You want to attack Crimea? So that's the focus. That's what the UK government is telling Zelensky. Target Crimea now. Just to give you an idea of the map, right? This is the current territory that's being held by Russia. This area is verifiably Russia. They just voted in an election this weekend, overwhelmingly. But here, all in red.
Hold the line. I mean, that's the line. That's where Russia intended to come in and set the line when the special military operation began. And that's the line. The part that's sort of light blue is still contested. That's all they're holding because Russia intends to still go to those places. And that's where the war ends. As they have stated.
Well, keep it up there for a second, Philip. Like, look at Odessa, right? So now what you're going to do is, and as Colonel McGregor and others on our show have said, if you don't stop this madness, what Russia is going to do is going to move into that area through the Black Sea and take over Odessa, completely close off your southern port. You'll be an encircled country, a landlocked country. You won't be a country anymore. So you keep pushing this, keep pushing it. This is about to happen. It's unbelievable. So there's been intense fighting in Donetsk over the past few days, in Bakhmut, on in these areas. Maybe that's the line that he's talking about. These areas have been hit. People going to the polls and to vote were also struck. Polling places also attacked in Russia. So on all of this, though, we need somebody from the West, right? We need somebody to fly in there and try to really drum up more support. So we need Senator Lindsey Graham. We need a warmonger to fly into Kiev and to call on Ukrainian lawmakers to keep fighting, keep dying. We need young Ukrainians to keep dying. And that's exactly what happened. Lindsey Graham flew into Kiev. He's in Ukraine right now, and he's really urging them. I mean, this Washington Post piece is really unbelievable. He is urging Ukraine to pass their new mobilization law to lower the age of conscription. He's like, look, you guys, he couldn't believe it. He's like, we need to have men under 27 years old fighting. I don't care if they're students.
Meanwhile, the Western press has all but admitted that there are towns in Ukraine that are totally devoid of men now, that they are empty of men.
Yeah.
Even, I believe it was the Washington Post that published that on Monday. I'd have to look again through my notes.
I think so. I think it was. Yeah, we linked to it in the newsletter this morning, right? So
I think it was Monday.
Or Monday. But, I mean, can you imagine? So we need, he basically said, I can't understand. He's like, I'm asking Zelensky here, like, I can't understand why you're exempting men under 27 years old from fighting. You need to send these men to die.
That's awful. I mean, he should go.
Yeah, he should. We should put Graham out there.
He should go first.
Lindsey Graham should go to the front
lines.
He's
probably the average age of the current soldier.
Right.
So. Good point.
So Graham called for swift legislative action in Ukraine. I'm going to read from the Washington Post piece now. Even as U.S. lawmakers remain unable to reach their own consensus on aid for Ukraine, his first trip to the Ukrainian capital since he abruptly turned against the $60 billion aid package for the country last month. As he issued his advice on the draft, Graham, who met with Ukrainian President Zelensky on Monday, could offer no true assurances about any pending aid package. Instead, though, he's more optimistic than ever that something will come out of the House of Representatives. But he says, I hope those who are eligible to serve in the Ukrainian armed forces will join. I can't believe it's 27 years old, he says. You're fighting for your life, so you should serve. Anybody under 25, so 18 to 25, which largely held for students, no. We need to pass this law immediately so these young men can go and die.
Can you imagine how scared you'd be if you're a young boy that age?
In Ukraine?
Or a mom of a boy that age? He lacks sort of basic human decency at this point. Go ahead, David.
Well, and Lindsey Graham is not saying anything about the fact that they're stopped elections there. So now if people hate this rule, they're going to be like, well, now that Zelensky's doing this, there's no way we would vote for him again. They have no choice but to accept it because they can't vote him out.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Good point.
Yeah. And basically Zelensky admitting over the past 24 hours that Ukraine is in a better position with a dictator, basically. Really pushing for democracy there. And meanwhile, Poland is admitting, you know, we talk about 500,000 dead, at least, in Ukraine. An entire generation of young men, slightly younger men, wiped away. Retired Polish general just came out and said, we got to stop talking in terms of like 500,000. No. The losses are in the millions for Ukraine. He says, Ukraine's losses in the conflict with Russia should be counted in the millions, former chief of staff of the Polish general staff has claimed. They're losing the war and they don't have the resources to sustain the fight against Moscow, he admits. There are no miracles in war, he says. It's in the millions. So that's why Lindsey Graham is there. I just find the timing of all of this very interesting. Obama flies to 10 Downing Street yesterday. He's meeting with the UK leadership. Then you have Lindsey Graham in Kiev talking to Zelensky about lowering the age of your draft. Emmanuel Macron in France about to send thousands of troops to Odessa. Something very fishy is happening right now.
And the idea of a war mentality, then, selling this all of this conflict to us as a necessary state of being. Incidentally, I've been rereading 1984 this week, and something about this war mentality, I went back and looked at my notes, and George Orwell warned us about this. He talked about how the party made it necessary to have the mentality appropriate to a state of war. He said, it does not matter whether the war is actually happening, and since no decisive victory is possible, it does not matter whether the war is going well or badly. All that is needed is that a state of war should exist. A war mentality was in 1984. We're living it. We're here. And why do they do that? Because the consciousness of being at war, he says, and therefore in danger, makes the handing over of all power to a small caste system seem natural, unavoidable condition of survival.
I really hope you enjoyed watching this video. You know, YouTube thinks that you'll actually like this next video right here. It's personalized based on your own viewing habits. So if you watch the video, please leave a comment. Let us know what you think about it. And we will see you next time, everyone.